no role plays, just real. Chris and Lorenzo share four decades of combined experience to help you become a more effective leader.
We've never really, as a workforce, spent a lot of time on making sure we're developing good leaders.
We'll be able to share stories, experience, mistakes, failures, successes.
This is Hacking Your Leadership.
Welcome to Hacking Your Leadership. I'm Chris.
And I'm Lorenzo.
And Lorenzo, on this episode, we're continuing our discussion of leadership mistakes. This is the third episode in a row of this topic, and I think there's going to be about one more. So call it three of four, because there's just so much to go over here, and the feedback we've gotten from it has been pretty amazing. But this all started after our first episode on this topic 2 weeks ago, because we had a conversation around like kind of career-killing leadership mistakes, these huge leadership mistakes that people make. And we got a lot of feedback from people saying, yeah, that's great. I love knowing that, but I'm kind of smart already and I'm not going to do those things. So how about you talk about some of the ones that might be tripping me up and I don't even realize they're tripping me up until it's too late, the things that hurt me daily. And so we wanted to talk about these kind of common leadership mistakes that kind of build over time. So on the first episode, we talked about not taking time to bond with your people individually and being kind of unavailable or inaccessible to them. Last week, we talked about the specific process on developing talent, as well as giving regular feedback about performance, not just feedback in general. On this episode, the first one of these kind of leadership mistakes that I want to talk about is one that is that I've seen to be kind of hard for a lot of leaders recently, and that's this idea of taking emotions into account when it comes to how you deal with your people. I personally have had a difficult time doing this for a lot of my leadership career, and I've gotten better with it over time, but I remember very clearly a leader saying to me once a long time ago, people are messy. They don't always react the way the book says they're going to react, or the way that the logical way or the pragmatic way, that the emotion is taken into account. And I think a lot of leaders fail to do this, especially on issues that are not emotional for themselves. And so it's a little bit of an empathy here. Have you seen this happen in leaders, and what have you done to kind of resolve this?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think you make a great point, that last point there, which is that most of the time, it's hard for people to be empathetic when they actually can't relate or they have no experience with what somebody is going through. And then even sometimes, if they do have similar experience, but they've had different reactions in their past or the way that they've handled something, can make it really, really difficult for them to be empathetic. And even if, you know, and sometimes, a lot of times situations, and as you build relationships with people and with leaders over time, you know, things happen in life. Like I think about leaders that I've known for years and decades, and, you know, going through relationships, making major decisions in their lives, having children, things like that. And when that stuff happens, just like you and I, it changes you to a degree. It gives you different perspective. It can make you more emotional. It can give you different trigger points for different types of things. Like, so I just think that a lot of times leaders, you know, in the moment, it takes a lot to just step back and listen, be able to provide kind of in the moment empathy. Don't immediately chalk this up to like, well, when this happened to me, you know, this is how I took it and I moved on. Or, you know, when this happened to somebody else that I know this happened to, this is what they did with it. You really have to sit in it and allow the person to feel how they're going to feel. And then ask what you can provide as a leader to help support them. And I think that that's just it is something that especially newer leaders, as they get into role, you kind of want to be like, well, I think that fairness is treating everybody the same. And they kind of have these ideas in their heads about like, well, I got to be careful. I don't want to feel like I give this person too much time, this person too much empathy, or yada, yada, yada. And they haven't really realized yet that treating people the way that they need to be treated and providing them with the level of support that's necessary for each individual person is really how you kind of build culture and create an element of fairness. But I think the emotion part is really big.
Right, right. And a lot of it is just being able to meet somebody where they are and say, I understand why you feel this way. And really mean it. You take the time to try to get in their head, to kind of let them kind of vent a little bit and talk about why they're feeling that way. Because I will tell you, no one has ever gone from reacting emotionally about something to reacting logically about something because someone said, oh, you're acting emotionally here, you should act logically. No one's ever gone, oh, you know what, you're right. You're totally right. Thank you. Thank you for that clarity. I am now going to react logically to it. No, of course not. You know, we react the way we react. The emotional reaction is the knee-jerk reaction. If you want people to at least mitigate that, or if you want the results of that to be mitigated at all, people need to get there on their own. They need to find the right balance, because I know a lot of people who do a great job of not taking emotions into account. They react logically and pragmatically. Those people are just as difficult to be around as people who don't do anything besides act emotionally. You know, the human beings were meant to have a mix of both. And the people that I have the best relationships with are ones that have a healthy relationship with both. They know how to let emotions impact them and to make emotional decisions and to let logic get in there and to make logical decisions and that kind of have that mix of both. I'm thinking of an example right now where I've had these conversations with people. I do some consulting work for an organization where over the course of a few years, the minimum wage has risen a lot. And what that has led to is people being hired into an organization today might be making the same amount of money or really close to the same amount of money as somebody who's been working with the organization for 5 years or 7 years or 8 years, provided they're doing the same position. And that can be an emotional thing for a person thinking, wait a minute, this doesn't make sense to me. I've been here so much longer. Why is it that we're making the same amount of money? And I don't want to get into a discussion about what's right or wrong here from a standpoint of the right policy, because every organization has to take their own culture and laws and stuff into account. That's not what this is about. But reacting to an employee who says that by saying, why would that matter? It should be this and this and this, and that, like, kind of shutting down the emotional reaction as opposed to meeting them where they are, that will always be the wrong thing to do. All that will lead is that employee to think, this person is one I can't have the conversation with. I can't talk about this with this person. And that kind of ire will get mashed down inside, and it will lead to a complete disengagement, a lack of productivity. And they won't quit, by the way. They won't leave the organization. So you'll end up paying somebody to basically come into be a placeholder who won't feel good about their job. So they'll cause you more problems than if they just got mad and quit.
Yeah, I think the key element there is just have the conversation, whatever the topic is. Right. Allow there to be some dialogue. Listen, say, help me understand. Like, so walk me through, you know, how do you feel about this? What is it about this that you know, maybe is bothering you? Or like, just have the conversation, hear somebody out. And then, you know, be curious to a degree in asking them and thinking about, like, what are solutions and what are, you know, like just having the dialogue, I think, for a lot of people, regardless of many times the thing that they are typically emotional about. And we're not talking about, like, in my opinion, we're not talking about the emotions of, like, life things that can happen, the death of a family member, like, you know, like things like that, where those are just raw emotions and there's really no solution you can provide as a leader besides giving them empathy and providing them support whatever they need. We're talking about the things that can happen at work, or the things that, you know, in a decision that was made, or, you know, a policy that was in place, or a strategy, like, where people feel like, you know, it's not what they want, or they have a different opinion, or like whatever those things are, the things that kind of rotate around work. It's really important to just allow them to express and allow them to talk, and allow there to be some dialogue. And it's also okay to know that what the answer is going to be maybe is that there's really not much we're going to do about this, because we just kind of have to accept what this new thing is, whatever it may be. But shutting down the dialogue because the answer might be, you know, the same regardless of the conversation, that's not helpful in moments like these. That's not showing the reflection of respecting somebody's emotion and allowing them to share what they need to share.
I think when I'm putting myself in the shoes of leaders who have a hard time doing this, I think there are a lot of people out there who confuse validating somebody's feelings with validating the concern that they have too. You can validate a person's feelings and emotions about something without necessarily agreeing with the thing that they are getting emotional about. They are not related. And you don't, you're not supposed to give your opinion in this moment anyway. Again, if it's about meeting people where they are, part of the conversation shouldn't even be whether you agree or disagree with them. This isn't even about that. And if you are having a hard time having these conversations with people, think about, is the reason you're having a hard time because you feel like you either have to agree or disagree with them? And if you disagree with them, how do you show empathy on something that you absolutely completely disagree with them on, whatever that topic is? And that's the whole point, is that it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether you agree or disagree, because that's not even part of the conversation. It's just listening, and it's validating the fact that based on where they are in their life experience, their work experience, whatever experience they've had with different leaders over the years, whether it's in this company or another one, all of those things, all of those interactions have led this person to a mindset where they are right now in the moment where they're feeling this about this situation. Anything other than meeting them where they are is going to end poorly. You can meet them where they are. You can have a discussion about this without them leaving going, oh, Lorenzo's on my side with this one. I can tell. It's like, if they think that and you don't actually believe in what they're thinking and you don't agree with them, then you've done the wrong thing too. Then you've falsely made them think that they have an ally in you for whatever cause they're standing for when they don't. That's just as wrong. Again, it's validating the concern and the emotion without even bringing into account whether or not you have an opinion or agree or disagree on the thing they care about.
Yeah, I mean, it can happen as an example if somebody doesn't get a job they were applying for. Maybe they got to the very end of the process, right?
Yep.
And it's like, it can be emotional and it can be frustrating and you can, you know, have this kind of release about not getting the job, but like—
In the back of your mind, you're thinking, I'm the guy who stopped this promotion from happening.
It is. Yeah, right? Yeah. Well, at the end of the day, like if I had to make the decision, I had to make the decision.
Right.
Right. Like because you're emotional doesn't mean you're not going to get the job. Like that decision has been made, right? But it's important though, not to just say like, well, it is what it is. And you know what? There's been a million times and I've not gotten a job before too. So like, you got to suck it up and keep it moving. Like, no, like that's not actually, you know what I mean? Like I can show you empathy. I can understand. I can relate. I can align a little bit with you on what that's like to feel like that. And then say like, you know, but here we are, right? We're at the crossroads. What do we want to do from here? You know, where are we going from here? What additional support would you need going forward? And like just having the dialogue and conversation. And I've been in those conversations before, and it's really tough when you get to the very end of a process. And it's not that you didn't do well, or it's not that you couldn't do the job. It's just that somebody else got selected, and that can be tough. You know, like it's like most people want to be like, well, just tell me what I did wrong or tell me that I'm not good enough. And like, that's not actually the conversation that we're having.
Right.
It's just that there was one job and there were two people trying to get it and both of you could do the job and a decision had to be made. Right. And so like that can be something that can be very emotional for people, but allow that to be a thing. It's okay. Allow that to happen. Allow them to be able to have a place to vent or to express their, you know, their emotions, and then help support them to move it forward. Because if they were at that part of the process in this go around, that means they should continue the work that they're doing and be very available for the next opportunity.
Right, right. I'll tell you an example that I was thinking of that relates to yours that would be even harder. And I was kind of call some leaders out on this one a little bit, is that if a person who you made the decision to not move ahead with a job gets upset about this and you're having the conversation, and in the back of your mind, you're thinking, how on earth did this person think that they were qualified to be able to do this job? If you're saying that, then shame on you. Because if they didn't know that they weren't qualified to do that job, then you have failed them as their leader by making sure that it was a ludicrous notion to want to put their name into the hat for this. They should, if in your mind they should be embarrassed to have said, I want to do this job, then what conversations did you have with them over the previous weeks and months to say, if you want this, this is what you need to do in order to advance for it? If when they applied for the job, it was a surprise to you, how come you never had the conversation with them about what they wanted to do next, whether they were interested in whatever the next promotion was? If you knew these things and you had these conversations with them, that person wouldn't have applied to begin with because they would have a much better sense of self-awareness around the process. And then you wouldn't be in the situation you're in now, which is trying to explain to them why you were the one that made the decision not to, and now they're being emotional about it. People make their own beds when it comes to this a lot of times. Your example to me would be much easier because from a leadership standpoint, it's like, yeah, you did nothing wrong. It's the old Captain Picard Star Trek, you know, in life, there we can make no mistakes, we can do everything right and still not win. that's not anything besides life. That's just life. It happens sometimes. And being able to meet people where they are in those situations, I think, is important. But it means hopefully you've done your due diligence as a leader to make sure that they are self-aware about the situation. And it really is that.
Yeah, I think too, since we're on the subject, right, I think it's there are the times when the leader holds the bag, to your point. If somebody is lacks the self-awareness or doesn't have any idea that they shouldn't be ready or they're not ready or that the role is without, you know, outside of their reach, then the leader needs to hold the bag on that.
Right.
I would also say that individuals that only express interest in a job when it's open.
Oh, yeah, of course.
They got to hold that bag, right? Yeah, because definitely. How are you telling people and what are you doing and how are you being proactive and how are you, because the real work is when you say, I really want this job and I want everybody to know it and I want the spotlight now and I want the bar of expectation higher today and I want to be able to go and prove myself and show myself and take on all of the extra things that I need to take on to show that I want to be able to get this next role versus I'm going to wait for it to open and then jump in and be like, well, what do you mean? I think I'm ready. Yeah, but that's just a thing of mine. I'm not saying you can't do that. And I think in certain industries, it's kind of built that way. I will always just say, though, as the individual, if you are looking for continuing career progress and make that known, let your direct leader know
right.
that it's something that you're interested in so that it's not a surprise if something is going to open and then you're expressing interest.
Right, right. If you're a leader and you've been proactive, you have conversations with your people monthly or quarterly or biweekly that where you actually ask them, what are your short-term and long-term goals? Tell me what they are. Do you have interest in moving up within the organization? Yes or no? Like, if you're doing that and the information that you're getting is leading you to believe that everything's fine, and then your people surprise you with an application for a position that just happened to open up, yeah, of course, is there a self-awareness problem with that person? Definitely. Was it your responsibility to do that? Probably not. If these are adults we're talking about here, you know, at some point in time, you have to own, how people perceive you in the world, and that becomes on the person more so than the leader. I just want to make sure that leaders are not in a situation where they're in these situations where they're having these tough conversations with people, and they could have done work in advance to make it so these conversations didn't even have to happen in the first place. And I know that does happen a lot.
Absolutely. And with that, it brings us to this episode's 1 minute hack. But first, a few words from our sponsors.
The 1 minute hack.
All right, for this episode's 1 minute hack, here's what I want you to do. The next time that you're getting into a conversation with an employee and it's clear that they are having an emotional reaction to something, and it doesn't matter what it is, make sure that your responses to them eliminate everything from your vocabulary that tries to mitigate their feelings by telling them that they should feel differently or that they should feel less strongly about how they feel. Anything about how it's going to be okay, anything about how, oh, the same thing happened to you and look where you are now, everything worked out okay, anything along those lines, get rid of it. The only two things that you should be saying to employees who are reacting emotionally to something are validation of how they're feeling. I completely understand why this is a frustrating experience. And number two, ask them what you can do to support. What can I do to support you in this moment? That's it. Anything that they say that they're looking for, it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to give it to them. You can talk about that and you can compromise. You can come to an agreement of what works best for both them and for you and for the business, whatever that is. But the start has to be an unequivocal opinion that you are standing next to them in their feelings of the situation. If you start there, the relationship is more likely to come out the other side, even if you never see eye to eye on what the actual problem was.
Yeah, I think it's a great 1 minute hack and a reminder of all of us as people and as humans get emotional from time to time. And I think that if you, consider that and how you, would want somebody to be able to just listen and to not tell you how to feel, I think that's really, really important this day and age. And I think it works for us as individuals. And so it works definitely for our people. And as a leader of people, it really is about, providing them with an opportunity to feel how they need to feel, giving them some space, giving them the support if they need some. And then you can follow up and have the conversation later and talk about whatever it might be. And if there is something there that needs to be discussed or addressed, allow that to happen after all of the emotion or most of the emotion has had a chance to kind of dissipate.
Right, right. And if you think about it, this should actually be easy for a lot of people, because at the end of the day, if you're trying to mitigate how they're feeling, if you're trying to convince them that they should feel differently or try to make them feel less emotional about something, think about what that is you're actually doing. You're trying to sell them on something. You're trying to sell them an idea that you have about something that needs to change their mindset about the way something is. And that takes effort, it takes work, and sometimes it's successful and sometimes it's not successful. But if all you have to do is show them that you're standing next to them and that you understand where they're coming from, there's no sales pitch. There's no need to make them change the way that they're feeling about something. It's just meeting them where they are. That should be about as pressure-free as it gets in terms of the conversations you have with your people. I think leaders who know how to do this and who embrace it, I think they have a much easier and much less stressful time managing these types of situations.
Absolutely. And with that, it brings us to the end of this episode. This is Hacking Your Leadership. I'm Lorenzo.
And I'm Chris.
And we'll talk to you all next time.